This is episode 49 of Two Girls Talking. I'm Katie Kiley from 97.1 The River in Atlanta. I do afternoon drive radio here. And Melissa Ruggieri is with me, the music critic from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, who also does the music scene blog on AJC.com. We are Two Girls Talking. Let's go back to that rock riddle that we did last week, Melissa. Did you come up with the answer when we were doing it or not?
I did.
You did?
But, yes, but I didn't say out loud.
You didn't answer. Because we wanted to wait till the end, but one of your friends knew what it
yes,
was.
Yes, my friend Heather. She got it.
Heather, thank you. That's pretty cool. Add a letter to the garden party guys to get one name. A red-breasted songbird gave more fame to shame. A Mexican rabbit pounds the skins for this band. Together they're known for low budget, sleight of hand.
It would be Cheap Trick.
Right on. And we did that because you just talked to Robin yes. Zander at Grammys. Add a letter to the garden party guys to get one name. That's the infamous Ricky Nelson, who sang the song Garden Party. Rick Nielsen is the lead guitarist for this band. A red-breasted songbird gave more fame to shame. Red-breasted songbird is a robin, and that's Robin Zander, the lead singer. Ain't That a Shame was a hit from 1979's Live at Budokan. A Mexican rabbit pounds the skins for this band. It's Bunny Carlos. He was with the band's drummer and percussionist. And together, they're known for low budget, sleight of hand. Low budget means cheap, and sleight of hand is a trick. And that's where you get it.
There you go.
Cheap Trick, the answer. And isn't Robin Zander just a treasure?
He's just a lovely, talkative, fun guy. And had a lot to say. I mean, he was, like, interesting to talk to. He wasn't just giving canned responses to questions. He really wanted to engage with me. So
I interviewed him here years ago, right? And he... Literally, we talked for hours. Like we were talking when we weren't on the mic. We were talking in another room. He's just a really regular guy.
I told you last week that his son is now playing in the band.
Yes.
Also, and his son was with him when I talked to him. And he's a nice kid.
Does he look like him?
He does, sort of. I mean, a little different, but he's got a blondish, dirty blonde hair to his shoulders. And when he played with them, he definitely looked like a rock star on stage.
That's great. They're so great. Well, now we're going to talk about Eagles because they're going to start their 2020 tour here in Atlanta at State Farm Arena this week. Where do they go from here?
From here, they're going to a bunch of places. They're going to New York. They're going to L.A. They're doing Minneapolis, Dallas. They're doing at least two or three shows in pretty much every market. And they're going to be on the road through April. And then this summer, they're going over to London for a couple of shows, I think, in August. So, yeah, I mean, they're only at maybe six or seven cities that they're going to be
visiting.
But they're doing multiple nights in each city.
And the thing is that you can get tickets. Like, for instance, here today, they just announced they're releasing Great Seats. So you can get tickets for this. Just make sure to go online. You know, you don't have to miss out on it. But
Also, day of show, going to the box office is always a good idea because a lot of times production holds get released a couple hours before showtime, depending on the stage setup, especially for that first show.
Yes.
You know, the other two,
once they get the kind of note.
Set
in.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, one of the things last time they came through, I was like, you know, I love Vince Gill. I want to see Glenn Frey's son, Deacon, perform, but I just didn't, you know, the price of the tickets, I was like, not going to do it. It's not. I've seen the Eagles,
sure.
Right? But afterwards, everybody was raving about this concert, and I thought I kind of goofed and blew it.
I'm excited about seeing them, too. I had to miss it in 2017 when they were here because I had a family issue that came up that I had to deal with. But my colleague Rodney Ho went for me and reviewed the show, and he said, you know, it was great. He said that, according to his review, and I remember him telling me this, the Deacon sings lead on three of the songs.
Which songs do you know?
Peaceful, Easy Feeling, Take It Easy, and Already Gone. At least this is what they did last
That's
time.
Great.
I mean, I guess it could change. And then Vince Gill handled most of the other songs that Glenn or Randy Meisner sang lead on. And is getting ovations because his voice is so beautiful. And he's such a great guy, too. But, I mean, he's such a good fit for that band,
yep.
I think. But don't you remember, so Glenn died in 2016, which doesn't seem like it was three years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
I know, it was January.
Yes,
I know. Don Henley said very shortly after that the Eagles weren't going to go on without him because they couldn't go on without him. And then, you know, a year later.
The Eagles are always taking things back.
Yeah.
When Hell Freezes Over. Oh, but we'll do the Hell Freezes Over tour.
So it's sort of like, why go on record saying things unless you are absolutely certain, Motley Crue, that you're not going to do it again? Or just be vague about it. You know, we'll never be the same band again. That's for sure. We know that. You know, something like that. Because who knows in the future that Vince Gill popped up somewhere or that Deacon was willing to go on tour and fill in for his late father. I mean, you know, you can't expect that a young man is going to want to do that. But, you know, obviously he did and he's still
Isn't
on this tour.
Yeah.
So. The band, it's Don Henley, Joe Walsh, and Timothy B. Schmidt, along with Deacon and Vince. That's your Eagles. But they're doing something different this time than they did in 2017, too.
And I love the album. Hotel California in its entirety is such a beautiful record. I'm so excited about this.
And not only just the record, 46-piece orchestra and 22
choir member band. Yes.
That is going to be crazy. I mean, I love the album too. I can't say
there's
that.
So many,
like,
beautiful
there's
songs
so many good
on
songs
it, yeah.
That's what I mean. So I mean, hearing it in that setting I think is going to be special, sort of like, you know, when we saw Rick Springfield with an orchestra, you know what I mean, it just brings a different and The Who, you know.
Did they have a big orchestra like that when they did the Vegas shows?
You know, I can't remember.
Because they did Vegas, and that
actually,
was when they were doing...
Because my host in Vegas actually saw the show there back last fall, I believe. And that was one of the first places they played. And she said it was fantastic. I remember her telling me that now, yeah.
But there was an orchestra.
And that, yes, yes. So, you know, so they've had a dry
run. And I remember
run.
Being jealous at the time, thinking, yeah. Oh, man, to be a fly on the wall for that concert. Now it's touring.
It's touring, so, yeah. And also it's an 8 o'clock start, so there's no opening act. And there is an intermission, because they're going to do Hotel California. They're going to take a break, and then they're going to do a set of their other hits, because, you know, there might be people who love the Eagles catalog but not necessarily
what
you know,
was on Hotel California.
The album tracks on Hotel California, so you're going to get a little bit of both. So it's an interesting evening, and it might actually justify some of those ticket prices.
Well, there you go, when you realize all the people they're bringing on the road. Well, you know, I kind of went back to my little vault of people that I've interviewed, and one of my favorites ever was Glenn Frey. First of all, Glenn Frey was very hot. Guy.
Yes. I remember in the 80s.
Oh, him. My goodness. Remember when he was doing those ads for some gym and he was.
That's right.
Oh, and on Miami Vice and stuff. And so to meet him in person was not a disappointment. Mm-hmm. I've got to tell you, he was really lovely and really nice. It was fun to talk to him about. Story about Desperado, and then a story about
who would be in his ultimate band.
Who would be in his ultimate band?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny the choices he made, because it is sort of like, oh, that would be some heck of a super group.
Well, what's so funny is at first you started kind of go hem and haw, and then I was like, all right, you're drummer, right, you're
exactly.
drummer. It was like just get
moving
an
instrument.
Because you know, back then it was all live.
Yes.
So that was live on the radio, and I had to just be you don't have time to hem and haw. Tell me.
Yeah, move on.
I had to help
Let's
him
go.
On a little bit, but what he came up with. Why don't we listen to it? This is from July of 1992 with Glenn Frey.
If you could make the ultimate band of people you've either played with before or not, who would you have in it?
Oh, well, you know, it's, geez.
Seriously, I'm just trying to think of who you're a big fan of, or would you use?
Oh, well, you know, I mean, there's just a lot of people who are really, really good.
Okay, guitar player.
It'd be hard. Eric Clapton. He's my single most favorite guitar player, but I have a lot of other guitar players that I really admire, like Mark Knopfler, Robert Cray. There's a lot of good guitar players in heavy metal, guys that really get around the
Absolutely.
Neck, you know how to play. Geez, after that, you know, keyboards, I'd get Stevie Winwood. I'd have all singers, you know. I mean, I believe you got to play and sing, so I think I'd probably pick Stevie Winwood as a keyboard player.
Drums?
I'd probably, you know, Hanley was very much an underrated drummer. You know, emphasis was always put on his singing, but, you know, if I was to pick a singing drummer, I'd pick Hanley. And if I couldn't have Hanley, I'd pick Levon Helm. On bass, well, you know, there's a lot of just unbelievable bass players, but I guess we could let Paul McCartney play bass in this band. It would be okay, and then, you know, he could double on keyboards and guitar if he wanted to.
Big names. This would
you
be
know,
like
that would
the
be
super
really,
group.
That would be really good. You know, we put together a horn section.
That says a lot about you, though. If you could just say Clapton just like that, he obviously is your all-time favorite.
Well, he's the most lyrical guitar player. He's always playing melody. He's never trying to overimpress you with how many notes he can play. He really plays melody, and so for me, that, you know, that makes it. Those most of my favorite guitar players are not the guys that can play a million notes. They're the guys that, yes, can play a million notes, but choose to play the notes that they do. And Eric's solos are songs within themselves. They have a beginning that's just like an intro. They have a middle and they have an ending in it. To know how to compose and play that way as a guitar player takes experience, and then the intangible sort of soul from the heart thing that has to happen. But
whatever he's got, it is amazing.
Oh, he's the man.
Boy, he loves Eric Clapton, doesn't he?
I know, that's so funny.
I thought it was just interesting what he had to say about him and the melody of
yes.
what Eric Clapton plays.
Yes.
Kind of sad that we never got to see Glenn Frey in that
I know.
Incarnation.
I know. That really would be a hell of a super group.
And then one of my favorite songs ever. Have you seen the Linda Ronstadt?
Not yet.
Okay. The Linda Ronstadt documentary is amazing, and it just puts you back to that time. I know you're younger than I am. Back in the 70s, though, you wanted to be Linda Ronstadt
sure.
if you were a girl. You know, she mm-hmm. wore those blue jeans and just the way she was so feminine and yet one of the guys.
Right, right.
And so her backup band being some of the members of the Eagles with right. Glenn Frey and Don Henley is very interesting to see that in the documentary. But
so there is a lot of Eagles-related stuff in the documentary?
Yeah. The version of Desperado I was more familiar with initially was her version
yeah.
of it. But you can't be the Eagles' version of Desperado.
No, Don Henley's voice on that is pretty outstanding.
It's just one of the best songs ever. It doesn't matter who, what artist did it. It's a great song, isn't it?
And when you think about it, thinking back to songs like that, that the country crossover that was there even then. You know, I mean, there's a lot of times now with some of these country guys that they say, oh, they're not really country. They sound more like pop or rock or whatever. Well, you know, you go back a few decades. And these
Kenny Rogers had like the Gambler. And they were huge when in the 70s. It was top 40 music, right?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And you hear a lot of that going back to the 70s and 80s. By the way, I can't believe it's going to be next year. Will be 50 years that the Eagles have existed. They're coming up on their 50th anniversary.
It's
too.
A pretty lovely thing. It's amazing.
Yeah, we're all getting old.
But the great thing is they're still doing it. And, right. I do love that. Well, here's what he had to say about Desperado. And I think one of the very touching things is he talks about two other people that he would love to hear a version of this song by, and that he and those two people are gone now. But this again, Glenn Frey from July of 1992, talking about the album and song Desperado.
That's right. It was not.
That surprised me because it's such a...
No, Desperado was not a single. And as a matter of fact, that album, which, you know, now is part of rock lore, I guess, was not even really appreciated by Atlantic Records, who distributed Asylum when we turned it in. You know, we gave them three hit singles on the first Eagles album, Take It Easy, Witchy Woman, and Peaceful Easy Feeling. And then the word was that Jerry Greenberg, the then vice president of Atlantic, said, what have they done, a cowboy opera? Jeez. They weren't too thrilled about that. But I think they released Outlaw Man as a single and... God, something else, but that album hung around, you know, like just like a puppy in the rain, I guess.
Or was it one of those that you guys were just trying to shake, boy? After?
Now, see, that's the first song I ever wrote with Don Henley.
I didn't know that. I knew you co-wrote it.
That song and Tequila Sunrise the same week. Those were the first two songs that we wrote. So Desperado is one of my favorites just because it's like hung around for a long time.
Do you remember the circumstance of writing it? Because it is one of those songs you hear and your heart just goes, you know.
Just remember it was in Don's apartment in the Hollywood Hills there by Highland in the Hollywood Bowl. And he had this little piano riff. And originally, when he played it for me, he had a friend named Leo. And so I said, Leo, my God, why don't you come to your senses? And then when we started Doolin Dalton and Jackson and we all started talking about making some sort of outlaw record, then we changed the first line to Desperado, why don't you come to your senses? And that's how the song got.
And everybody named Leo's going, damn.
I want Ray Charles or Joe Cocker to record Desperado.
I was just going to ask you who did your favorite cover of it, but that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Cocker would kill that one. He would do it great.
Yeah, both
but
of them.
Rachel, oh, man.
Henley is my favorite cover. I think he did it the
did
best.
Did you like Linda Ronstadt?
Yes, of course. No, I did like Linda Ronstadt very much. That was nice. Eagles didn't get too many covers because, you know, we tended to sort of produce and perform our records in a unique way that seemed to be unique to the band. So I don't think we got a lot of covers, but that's okay.
So what do you want to bet that that's going to be one of the songs that's played for sure?
In set two?
Yes, there you go, when they do their greatest hit.
You know, here's a couple little bits of trivia in case you forgot that. So Hotel California, that sold more than 26 million copies, and it's the third best-selling album in U.S. history.
Wow.
And
The Greatest Hits,
1971 and 1977, is still the best-selling album in U.S. history with more than 38 million copies sold. It and Thriller have gone back and forth over the years as to...
Is one and two?
One and two.
And then Hotel California's third.
The Hotel California.
So they have pretty crazy.
Two in the top three. Of all-time record sales.
That's a lot of hits.
That's a lot of songs.
But it's not surprising when you consider who the band members were, how much solo work they've all done.
And the time. The amount of time they've been together. The time that the albums came out, too, and the fact that this will never happen again. No one's selling 28 million copies or 26 million copies of anything ever in history. I mean, you could have 8 billion downloads and the artist is going to make $12 off of it. But, you know, when you think of the success that they had financially from selling tens of millions of records, you know, they don't have to tour. And they also don't have to charge $800 a ticket. But it's a whole other podcast. But it's true. I mean, they've made so much money over the years just from record sales because, you know, that's when you hit. You hit at the time that people were buying records and then buying CDs and then buying the CD to replace the record version of what you had and all that. So, you know, that all accumulates and you've got almost, 40 million? No, actually more than that. I can't do math. More than 50 million records sold combined.
Kind of stuff that you can't really even fathom, isn't it? All right, so we're going to see the show. We'll tell you what we think about it after we've seen it.
And you can go to AJC.com to my music scene blog.
Very good.
I will have a review of that.
She does a review right afterwards and she writes so well.
Oh,
I love your reviews.
February 7th is the night that we're both going, the first show of the three that they're going to be doing.
just make sure if you're nearby or can make a road trip, do it.
Yes.
It's going to be worth seeing.
A lot of these bands, you never know when it's going to be. Even when they say it is, it's often not. But when you look at some of them and their age and the necessity of whether or not they need to be on the road, then sometimes it really could be the last time.
Yep. Okay, so we're doing something new this year. I'm bringing in my rock riddles that I used to do years ago on the radio.
Which are pretty brilliant, I have to say.
Thank you for saying that.
They
coming
are.
From a writer, a
They're
professional
hard.
Writer. Thank you. Well, I try to give something in there that might be a little obvious or kind of make your, like when you said that your friend got Cheap Trick, that she kind of went, something just felt like
the
that.
The sleight of hand.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So he was born in Duluth, but not in GA. Think of some digits and women on a non-sunny day. He was famously booed when he turned on the power. His roles include fathering a musical flower.
I know.
Good for you.
But we'll talk about it next week.
All right. So there you go. That's the rock riddle. And we'll be back with you next week. Hope you have a good one.